All right, we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Pei Hei, 85, a lot to do today. We are picking up on Pei Dalid Amud Beis, 84b. So remember, again, we were discussing the relationship between Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So we're discussing the idea that they are both Talmidim in the yeshiva together. So the Gemara starts. Let's actually pick up at Hahu Yoma. It's 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom of Pei Dalet Amud Beis. Last two words on the line. Adahu Yoma, until that day. Remember, again, it's talking about the day where they put both of the young men on benches and then took them both off the benches and seated them back on the floor for reasons we discussed yesterday. So Adahu Yoma, until that day, ki hava amar Rabbi Milsa, hava Messiah the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Until that day, whenever Rabbi would say something, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon would go ahead and support the teachings and the rulings of Rabbi by bringing additional proofs. Mikan ve'ilach, but from that day forward, ki hava amar Rabbi yeshi lahashiv. Whenever a teaching would come up, and Rabbi would say, "Oh, I have a kasha, I have a question on that teaching." Amar li Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, kach v'kach yeshi lahashiv. Rabbi Shimon Elazar would say, "Oh, here are your questions," right? He would be mechaving ultimately to the questions. V'zoi teshuva secha. And here are the answers to all of your questions. Hashta hekeftanu tshuvos chavilos she'in bahen mamish. You have surrounded us with questions that do not really have any depth. Chalash daiti de Rabbi. So obviously, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was upset with Rabbi. He was upset with Rabbi, and he wanted to indicate that he was on a different level than Rabbi. So Rabbi got very upset. Asa amri lavua. So Rebbe came and he told his father, Amrlei b'ni, ayir elecha, do not be upset, shehu ari ben ari, v'ata ari ben shual. Well, so this is actually amazing. So the Gemara says, remember, Rebbe's father was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel tells his son, don't be upset. Rabbi Elazar is greater than you. Do you know why? Because he is the lion, the son of a lion. You're the lion, meaning Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was telling his son, you are a lion, but Ben Shual, the son of a fox. I'm just a fox, but you are a lion. So by definition, Rabbi Elazar has greater zechuyos, has greater intensity than you, because not only does he have his own learning prowess, but he has his father's prowess as well. V'hainu dam Rabbi, and this is what Rabbi said, Shlosha and Vosan and Hain. There were three truly humble people. Ve'elu Hain, and these are them. Abba, my father, right? Rebbe's referring to his father. His father is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, top of Pehe, Ubenei Besera. So we'll discuss again what happened over here with Bnei Besera. The Yonasan ben Shaul. And Yonasan, the son of Shaul, Shaul HaMelech. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Hadamra. So we'll say that. So remember, when Rebbe says, my father was a truly humble person, that's a reference to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So we spoke about that already. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel referred to himself as the fox. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was the Nasi, was one of the Gedolei Hador. But yet, again, he did not hold that he was great. He was exceptionally humble. So, B'nai B'seira, what happened with B'nai B'seira? Do Amar Mar Hoshivuhu Barosh, Ominuhu Lenasi Aleyen. So we'll say, B'nai B'seira chose to abdicate the position of the Nasi and went ahead and allowed Hillel to occupy that position. So what happened? So that was a sign of humility. Yonasan ben Shaul, what happened with Yonasan ben Shaul? The Kamalei LeDavid, Va'ato Timloch al Yisrael, Va'ani Ehyelech al Mishnah. And ultimately, Yonasan says to David, David, you will become king, and I will be your second in command. So ultimately, again, these were all incredible displays of humility. So the Gemara says, Mimai, so how do you know this was motivated by humility? Dilma Yonasan ben Shaul, the Chaza de Gorir Alma Basar David. It could be that the reason Yonasan ben Shaul got behind David HaMelech is because he saw that the people's heart was behind David. Meaning, what was he supposed to do? The people did not support him as the next monarch. They supported David. Therefore, he chose to throw his support behind David. B'nei B'seir Nami, the Chazu Lehillel de Adif Minayu. B'nei B'seir get behind Hillel because they saw that Hillel was greater than them in learning. He was greater Tam Tchachem than them. El Rav Shimon Gamliel Vada and Vasan Hara. Rather, again, it's true. Whereas one could indicate that that Yonasan's support of David was because he recognized that David had the heart of the people. or that B'nai B'Seira's support of Hillel was that they recognized that Hillel was truly the right man for the job. So it could very well, but nevertheless, Rav Shimon Gamliel's humility is an absolutely true humility. Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said the following. Chaviven Yisur. So we'll say Rebbe said, so now remember again, we see that Rebbe and, by the way, we'll say the end of that story you see is that Rebbe Lazar's widow did not end up agreeing to the Shidduch with Rebbe. That's the bottom, that's how this whole Maisa with Rebbe and Rebbe Lazar started. But what we see over here is that Rebbe and Rebbe Lazar, and Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon are contemporaries. So remember again, we spoke about in yesterday's daf, Rebbe Lazar's voluntary acceptance of Yisurim, of suffering. So Rebbe says, after he sees the suffering of Rebbe Lazar, he says, Amar Rebbe, Chaviven Yisurim. See how special suffering in this world is. Rashi says, it's the third wide line down from the top. Chaviven Yisurim, Shera Sha'ili Yisurim Shrebbe Lazar, Shaloshalta Barimo. He saw the incredible, almost cathartic effect that suffering had upon Rebbe Shimon Elazar. That Rebbe says somewhere for between 18 and 22 years, remember again, the body of Rebbe Lazar did not decompose. That was a result, ultimately, again, of the impact of the Yisurim. So Rebbe says, you see how profound and how impactful suffering are upon a person. Kibel alei tleisar shani. Rebbe accepted upon himself 13 years of Yisurim. So what was the breakdown of the 13 years? Shis v'tsemirta. The Shevar Bitsafarna. So for 6 years, he had Samirta. Rashi says, Evan Shebemokum Kitanim. So we'll say literally, Evan is stones. Shebemokum Kitanim means in the urinary tract. So he had kidney stones. He had kidney stones. So 6 years, he had kidney stones. And for 7 years, Safirna, Rashi says, Choli Shebesochapet. Some type of illness in his mouth. In his mouth. So others say, others reverse the numbers. They say seven with the kidney stones and six with the disease in the mouth. So what happened? The Gemara just now talks about how intense Rebbe's kidney stones were. So the Gemara says, Ahurai Re Debe Rebbe. Hava Osir Mishavur Malka. So we'll say, Ahurai Re, if you look at Rashi, Rashi's Shomer Susin, the person in charge of Rebbe's stables, was richer than Shapur Malka, King Shapur. Why was he richer than King Shapur? Because one of the benefits of being in charge of the stables is you get all of the manure. So getting all of the manure, obviously you could sell that. So he made a lot of money from fertilizer sales to the point that he was richer than King Shapur. So obviously, as we've seen already in these Gemaras, a bit of hyperbole. So what happened? When the stablemen would feed the animals of Rebbe, there were so many animals that the sounds of the animals eating would travel for 3 mil. So again, representing the incredible number of animals. So what happens? The stablemen used to try to time the feeding of the animals at the same time that Rebbe would have to go to the bathroom. What would happen? When Rebbe would have to use the bathroom, he would be in such pain that he would cry out. In order to go ahead and drown out his cries, the stablemen would try to go ahead and time the feeding of the animals for the times that Rebbe would use the bathroom. And what happened, says the Gemara, and even though he went ahead and he tried to time the feeding of the animals when Rebbe would use the bathroom, nevertheless, Rebbe's screams would rise up above the animals' noise, and even those traveling on the sea would hear him. So again, just an insight, a window into the incredible pain and suffering of Rebbe. But even so, we'll say the Yisurim, ultimately again, the suffering of Rebbe Lazar of Shimon was greater than Rebbe. How so? We'll say, just before we go on, I forgot to mention this morning's shir is dedicated by Yona and Shushi Ehrenfeld in the Zuchus of Refuah Shalema for Yona's grandfather, Gedalia HaKohen Ben Leah. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, he will have a complete and enduring Refuah. So we'll say so again. So the Gemara says, nevertheless, the suffering of Rabbi Eliezer, of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, was greater than Rabbi. How so? The either Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, mi'avabo, or mi'ava hochur. This is actually amazing. Because the Yisurim of Rabbi Lazar came through Ava, came as a result of love, and left as a result of love. So he says, Bami'ava, the Rabbi, I de maisabo, va de maisahochur. Rebbe's suffering came as a result of an episode and left as a result of an episode. Now, Bosse, now remember, the fact that Rabbi Lazar's Yisurin came al yedei ahava, through love, that we discussed already yesterday. What that represents is the idea that he accepted this suffering on himself. He literally accepted it upon himself. So that's called, when somebody accepts it upon themselves, the Gemara is terming that now Yisurim Shal Ahava, suffering of love. On the other hand, Rebbe's suffering apparently came as a result of an episode. Rabbi said, listen to this. So the Gemara says, Aidei Maisa Bao Mahi. What's the Maisa that ultimately caused Rebbe's suffering? Rabbi said, a very dramatic idea. Dahu igla dahavu kamimatu le l'shchita. There was a certain calf that was being led out for slaughter. Azal talya reshe bekanfa de Rebbe. The calf came. It's actually a very moving image. The calf came and hid underneath the cloak of Rebbe. So it ran to Rebbe, hid underneath his cloak, in order to go ahead and escape slaughter. The kabachi, and the calf cried. Amar le, Rebbe said to the calf, Zil, go and be slaughtered. Lekach notzart. That's why you were created. Now Rebbe was saying something exceptionally profound. Again, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the calf? It was for Shechita. It was absolutely for Shechita. Remember, again, the animal kingdom, nature was created to serve man. Of course, man has to use it responsibly, but it's created to serve man. So he says to the calf, why are you crying? Why are you hiding? Go and accomplish your life mission. Amri. So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hoyo v'lo kamarachim, leisel yisurin. Because Rebbe did not exhibit proper compassion to the calf who was crying, therefore, again, we will visit upon him suffering. So it's an incredible, incredible yisod. The idea of, and we'll discuss this in greater depth, but the idea, well, let's finish the end of the Maisa. So that's how Rebbe was afflicted with yisurin. V'aydei Maisa Hachu. And what happened? How was it? How was it ultimately again that his Yisurin left him? Yom Achad Havo Kakansha Amsei de Rebbe Besa. One day Rebbe's maid was sweeping up the house. Havishaje Bnei Karkushta V'Kakansha Luhu. There was a small group of weasels, baby weasels, that were inside the house, and she was chasing them away with the broom. Amarla. So Rebbe said to his maid, Shafkinhu, leave them alone. Because after all, the pasuk says, "V'rachamav al kol naasav," that the Ribono Shalom's compassion is upon all of his creatures. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has compassion upon all of his creatures, then we must have compassion upon his creatures as well. Amri. So in the Beis Din Shalmah, they said, "Choyl merachim nerachim alei." Since Rebbe has compassion upon the animals, we should have compassion upon him. So we'll say it's incredible. So apparently what the Gemara is clearly coming to teach us is this yisod, that a person, in order to be a true Baal Rachamim, being a Baal Rachamim is not just on people, but being Baal Rachamim is even upon animals, which makes sense. So we'll say any midah that a person is going to have, that midah, in order for that midah to be complete, it has to be applied really across the board. So in order to be a true Racham unto people, if a person is an achzar, if a person is indifferent to the suffering of animals, right, then at the end of the day, they don't really possess the midah of rachamim. In order to be racham unto another Jew, I have to be racham of akol ma'asav, an incredible idea. So the Gemara says, Kulu shani yisuri de Rebbe Elazar, lo shachav inish below his money. We'll say, now the Gemara is jumping back to Rebbe Elazar for just a moment. All the days that Rebbe Elazar suffered, no one died prematurely. Meaning that Rebbe Elazar's suffering was so profound and so impactful on this world that everyone else was spared from their yisurim. So all the years that he suffered, no one died prematurely. Kulu shani yisrid Rebbe, lo istrich amo lemitra. All the years that Rebbe suffered, the world did not need rain. In other words, as a result of his yisurin, there was so much bracha in the world that the world did not even need rain. The Amar Rabbi Rav Shila, Kashi Yoma de Mitra, Ki Yoma de Dina. Because Rabbi Rav Shila says, the day in which it rains is as difficult as the day of judgment. I both said, this is actually an interesting idea. We want rain, we love rain. Of course, yes, but rain is also exceptionally complicating. Rain makes travel difficult. Rain imposes many different hardships upon people. Of course, we need it. We want it. We daven for it. But again, in the days of Rebbe, the earth was saturated with moisture, even without the rain. So you were able to have the benefit of the rain without the inconvenience of the rain. So the Gemara says, "Va'amra meimar ilot ilav tarch la'alma." If the world did not need rain, ba'u rabbanan rachame alei mavatilei. The rabbis would daven and they would remove rain from this world just because of the incredible inconvenience that it causes. But during the days of Rebbe, even though it didn't rain, the earth was so saturated, Kiava akar pogulabi mishra, when someone would uproot a radish from the ground, hava kaima bira mali maya. Amazing enough, when you would uproot a radish from the ground, the hole in which the radish came from would be filled with water. In other words, the earth was saturated with so much moisture, even without the actual rain falling. Ikla Rebbe, la'asrei d'Rabbi Elazar. So now the story goes on. So Rebbe, just interesting enough, by the way, this is just an aside, you see, a lot of these Gemaras are also important because they provide us with fascinating biographical information. So we see over here that Rebbe, was a contemporary of Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon. So we'll say they were boys in yeshiva together. Clearly, again, their lives follow on similar paths, both afflicted by Yisurin. Rebbe Elazar goes ahead and predeceases Rebbe. Rebbe tries to marry Rebbe Elazar's widow. That shidduch does not work out. So the Gemara now is continuing that narrative. Ikla Rebbe la'asrei d'Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon. So let's say this is amazing. Rebbe went to the hometown, or to the town of Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon. Arle yesh lo bein lo oso tzaddik. So he asked around and he said, "Did Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon leave behind the son?" So here's what's amazing. The fact that they were asking this question, the fact that he asked this question indicates that that his son was not in yeshiva, that his son was not the Ben Torah, because if his son was in yeshiva, then ultimately Rebbe would know him. So Rebbe goes back ultimately again to the town of Rebbe Elazar, says again, did Rebbe Elazar leave behind a son? So Amrulo, listen to this. So they said, yes, he left behind a son. Yesh lo bein, v'cholzona, listen to this. V'cholzona sheniskeres b'shnayim, socharta b'shmona. And every zona, every prostitute who hires herself out for two zuz, hires him for his services for eight. In other words, he's an exceptionally good-looking young man, and even the zonos are willing to pay him. So it says, obviously, unfortunately, he fell into a life of great immorality. Watch this. So we'll say, so Rebbe is tracking down the son, clearly the off the derech son of Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon. Asye. So he found him. So literally Asye means he brought him. Asmechei b'Rebbe. He gave him smicha. Va'ashalme l'Reb Shimon ben Isi ben Lukunya. Achos di'ime. And he gave him over to the charge of Shimon ben Isi. So we'll say, so again, Rebbe identifies this boy, goes in and gives him smicha. The Marshal points out, it doesn't mean he literally just gave him smicha right then and there. It means he brought him to the Beis Medrash, he taught him Torah, he rose in prominence, he was given smicha, and ultimately, again, Rebbe gives him over to Reb Shimon. Tells Reb Shimon, you're in charge of this young man's maturation. Kol yoma, so every single day, Hava Amar, so this son of Rebbe Elazar would say, L'kiryasi ana azil. I want to go home. Right? Whether he was homesick, whether he just had an incredible desire to go back to his life of immorality, whatever it is, I want to go home. So listen to this. So Amar Le, so Rebbe said to him, Chachim avdu yasach. We're willing to make you into a Talmud Chacham. V'gulsa d'dava parsu alach. And are willing to spread a golden cloak over you, which represents, again, leadership. V'rebi karulach. And you're going to be looked to as a leader from the masses. Va'at amrit l'kiryasi ana ezel. And you're saying you're going to go home? In other words, Rebbe gives him Musar. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? We're giving you everything. We're willing to go ahead and literally teach you. We're willing to invest. We're willing to make you a leader. We're willing to make you a rough. So what are, and you want to go home? What are you running home to? You're running back to the immorality? You're running back to the depraved life? What are you doing? Amarle, the young man accepted the Musar and he said, Mumei azuva da. So I'll say, Mumei in this case means shivua. I swear, I hereby give up this idea. I will not speak about going home again. Ki gadol, as this young man grew up, asa yaseh b'mesivta d'Rebbe. Ultimately, again, so we'll say, remember again, Rebbe identified him. Rebbe ultimately, again, gave him smicha. Rebbe handed him off to Reb Shimon for his maturation. As he got older and more accomplished, he came to the yeshiva of Rebbe. So listen to this. Shama lekale. So Rebbe heard his voice. Rebbe apparently had not seen him for a while. Rebbe heard his voice. Amar ha-kala dami lekale d'Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon. The voice that I hear resembles the voice of my old friend, Reb Shimon ben Elazar. I'm sorry, Blazer or Shimon. Amrulay, so they said to him, Berehu. Oh, that's because it's his son. Right? That voice that you hear is the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. So Kari Alei, to which Rabbi said, Pri Tzadik Eitz Chaim Felokeach Nafshos Chacham. So he said about Nafshos Chacham, excuse me, he said the Pasuk in Mishlei, literally, the fruit of the righteous is a living tree, and he is able to take the souls of the wise. Pri Tzadik Eitz Chaim, what does it mean again? The fruits of the righteous are a living tree. Zet Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. This refers ultimately to Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon. So this is the first time, by the way, that we actually see his name. Right? The boy's name was Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon. He is the pre tzaddik. He is the fruit of the righteous one, the living tree. V'lokeach nefashos chacham. And what does it mean he takes the souls of the righteous? Zet Rabbi Shimon ben Isi ben Lukunya, who we'll discuss in a little bit. Kinach nafshe. So I'll say, when Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, dies, Antu lema'arta da'avor. Remember, again, they had a family burial cave. Remember, that's where Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was buried. We learned yesterday, again, that Rabbi Elazar was taken there for burial. When the son dies, Rabbi Yossi, right, Rabbi Yossi, they bring him to the burial cave of his father and his grandfather. So, hadra le'achna lema'arta. So what happened? What happened? The serpent remained at the entrance, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld, of the entranceway of the cave, and blocked their entrance. We'll say, listen to this. Amrilei, achna pasach picha, v'kanes ben eitzel aviv. So again, they say, serpent, open your mouth, move away, and let us bring the son to rest by the father. This time the son, again, being brought to the burial cave of his father, Rabbi Elazar, and his grandfather, Rabbi Shimon. So lo pascha. The serpent would not move. So we'll say, this is amazing. So people thought that the reason why the serpent didn't move was why? Maybe because Rabbi Yossi did not merit to be buried in the cave with his father and his grandfather. In other words, he wasn't as great as his father. To which we'll say, this is amazing. It's not because Rabbi Elazar was greater than Rabbi Yossi, his son, in learning. Brother, listen to this. Ella. We'll say this is amazing. Rather, the reason why the serpent wasn't moving is because, yes, Rabbi Elazar was greater than his son, Rabbi Yossi. But do you know why? Because literally he had the pain or the difficulty of the cave. What is this referring to? Look at Rashi. Tzar Ma'ara. Sheneschabu Sham Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Rabbi Elazar beno Yud Gimel Shalom Sechah Shas. Supposed to remember again, this is the famous Maisa. Where Rashi Rishon ben Yochai and Rabbi Elazar, they're in the cave for 13 years hiding from the Romans, and ultimately went ahead and learned Torah under exceptionally difficult and adverse circumstances. It could very well be that Rabbi Yossi was a greater Talmud Chacham, a greater Torah scholar, but Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon had a special zechus because they learned Torah under difficult circumstances. What Shabbos say is something, just there's so much to speak about with this, but this is an incredible, incredible yisod about greatness in Torah only comes through sacrifice, challenge, and difficulty. Meaning, the great challenge we have is, we want to be able to grow in our ruchnius without any real difficulty, without any real privation. I just want to be able to grow, but I don't really want the challenge. And the truth is, like most things in life, you can't grow without challenge. So Rabbi Elazar became Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon was Rabbi Shimon Chai because of the episode with the cave. They would not have been the same people had they just had a nice, serene life in yeshiva. It was only because of that challenge that they became great. So Rabbi Yossi was a great Talmud Chacham, maybe even a greater in scholarship than his father and his grandfather. But because he did not have the challenges of his father and his grandfather, therefore, again, his greatness was not the same. And therefore, it appears, according to the Gemara, that he was denied entry into the burial cave. So it appears that Rabbi Yossi, the son, grandson, was not buried along with his father and grandfather, but ultimately was buried in a different location. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ikla Rabbi La'asrei Rabbi Tarfas. So let's listen to this. So Rabbi apparently, and this is really amazing, we'll discuss why, Rabbi apparently took it upon himself to find the children of great men who had gone off the derech. We'll discuss why Rebbe had this particular occupation. So Ikla Rebbe li Asrei Rebbe Tarfa. So Rebbe went to the city of Rebbe Tarfa. Amar Lahu, Yesh Ben La'oso Tzadik. So he went ahead Shahaya Mikapeach as Banav, is, does this Tzaddik have a son? Now, we'll say, now, when they say Shahaya Mikapeach as Banav, so apparently Rabbi Tarfon, whenever Rabbi Tarfon would go ahead and Rabbi Tarfon would try to attest to the truthfulness of one of his statements, he would say, I swear, essentially, I swear by the life of my children that this is correct. So Rabbi said, does this Tzaddik, does Rabbi Tarfon have a son? Does this guy who always swore by the life of his children, does he have a son? So they said to him, Bein Einlo, he does not have a son, but Ben Bas Yeshlo. He had a daughter, and his daughter has a son. So he has a grandson. He has a grandson who's still alive. V'chalzona, we'll say first of the widest lines. V'chalzona sheniskeres b'shnayim, so charto b'shmona. We'll say something we saw before. But unfortunately, he's trapped in a life of immorality. For every zona who charges two zos, pays him 8 zuz for his services. Asu elakame. So ultimately, they brought the young man, they brought the grandson to Rebbe. Amar lei, ihadras bach yahidnot lecha bartoy. See, so Rebbe said, listen, if you go ahead and you come back with me to the Beis Medrash, I'll give you my daughter's hand in marriage. Hadr bay. So ultimately, again, the young man comes back. The young man comes back with Rebbe, and ultimately, again, is able to grow in Torah. Ika damis, we'll say, just interesting enough, there are those who say, nas bavagirsha, that the young man ended up marrying Rebbe's daughter, but subsequently they got divorced. Ika da'amri lo nas bakla. Others say he never married her at all. Kadesh lo yomru bishvil ze chazer ze. Because he didn't want people thinking that at the end of the day, his return to Torah was all for a girl. Okay, see, either way, the marriage doesn't end up working out, whether it's because it never happened, whether it's because it did happen and they got divorced. The point over here is that, here's the beautiful news. The beautiful news is that the young man returned. V'lama le'kulehai. So we'll say, so the Gemara asks, Rebbe, why are you spending all of your time doing this? Right? Meaning, why are you going after the son of Rabbi Tarfon, or grandson of Rabbi Tarfon, the son of Rabbi Lazar? V'lama le'kulehai. Yidom Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Amri le'amrabi Chia bar Abba Amarav, Amarabi Yochanan, Aram le'arab Shua bar Nachmani, Amarabi Yonason, Kala melameit es ben chaveiro Torah, Zocha v'yoshev b'yeshiva shalmala. We'll say such a beautiful idea. Because whoever teaches his son's friend, I should say his friend's son, Torah, merits to have a seat after 120 in the yeshiva shalmala. Rabbi said, I just understand something. What about if I teach my own son? So understand, teaching your own children is a given. You don't get brownie points for teaching your own children, just like you don't get brownie points for keeping food in your house and feeding your children. I have an obligation to physically sustain my children, and v'shinamtum levanecha, I have an obligation to spiritually sustain my children. It's my job as a parent to teach Torah to my children. That is my primary role as a parent, spiritual sustenance and guidance to my children. So that doesn't get me a seat in Yeshiva Shamala. That means I'm discharging my parental obligation. But when I go ahead and I take an interest in someone else's child, right? It's so easy to say to us. Remember, this is part of a much bigger theme, which is most of us are so busy with our own lives, understandably so, that it's hard to look beyond ourselves. If I'm the kind of person that looks beyond my own kids to other people's kids, I'm the kind of person that looks beyond my own family's needs to other families' needs, and I take an active interest in that, that's an incredible accomplishment. And such a person like that ultimately warrants a seat after 120 in the Yeshiva Shalmala. So if you go ahead and you take the time to teach your friend's child Torah, then ultimately, again, one receives a special location in Yeshiva Shalmala. Shnei Mar, Im Tashu Vashivcha Lefonai Tamod, V'chala Melamed Is Ben Ama Aretz Torah. Both, listen to this. And if you go ahead and you teach the son of an Ama Aretz, the son of someone who is ignorant Torah, listen to these words. Afilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer gzera mevatla. Even if God Himself makes a decree, the person who teaches the son of an Ama Aretz Torah has the ability to reverse that decree. So we'll say, you look in the Marasha. I'll just read it to you outside. Don't go to it, right? So the Marasha says the following. He says, why is this? He says, so listen to this. When a person is the son of an Ama Aretz, the teva is that if the father is ignorant, the son will be ignorant as well. That's the teva. That's the natural order of things. And I will say, but if somebody goes in and teaches the son of an Ama Aretz Torah, what they're doing is they're changing the laws of nature. They're saying just because the father is ignorant, the child's not going to be ignorant. If I go ahead and I change the laws of nature by teaching the son of an Amma Aretz Torah, then I have the ability to change the laws of nature in this world as well. Which means that even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a gzera, makes a decree, I have the power to go and overturn that decree. Incredible, amazing. So Rebbe understood the incredible power in taking an interest in other people's children. That's why even after these tzaddikim were gone, and clearly again, he's targeting specific children who he felt ultimately, unfortunately, were off the derech. You know, unfortunately, being the son of someone great is absolutely no guarantee for your own personal greatness. Sometimes you see it's lahefich. But amazing, if he dafka targeted these kids in order to be able to see who's helping them, who's looking after them, who's helping them grow. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara goes to the pasuk, Shenei Amar Vimtos Yakam Mezuah Kefitiyah. Amra Parnacham Rabbi Yochanan. Kol Shu Tam Tchacham. That's another amazing Gemara. Kol Shu Tam Tchacham. Ubino Tam Tchacham. Uben Bino Tam Tchacham. Shuv Ein Torah Posekes Nizor. We'll say this is an amazing Gemara that should really spur us to accomplish great things. Any family where I'm a Tam Tchacham, my son's a Tam Tchacham, and my grandson's a Tam Tchacham, that is a guarantee that Torah will never leave my family. Which I will say sounds like what? A chazaka. Right? Essentially, that's the thing. If you have a generational chazaka on Torah, then that, once that chazaka is established, Torah will not leave your family. We'll say, by the way, this is like an incredible incentive to become a Talmid Chacham and to raise children on Talmidei Chacham. Can you imagine this guarantee? So if we become Talmidei Chachamim, we go ahead and we raise our children to become Talmidei Chachamim, hopefully they in turn raise their children to become Talmidei Chacham. That is a generational guarantee that Torah will never leave our families. An incredible idea. Shnei Amar, as the pasuk says, "Va'ani zos brisi lo yomush mipicha umipi zaracha umipi zera zaracha." So we'll say ultimately again, Baruch Hu says, "Here is my covenant. If Torah does not leave your mouth, the mouth of your offspring, and the mouth of the offspring of your offspring, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Amar Hashem etav yad olam, Ma'iv Amar Hashem, Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, ani orev l'cha b'davar zeh. I guarantee this phenomenon." That at the end of the day, if you are Talmud Chacham, your children, your grandson, then ultimately Torah will not leave your family. My me'ata v'yad olam. What does it mean from now and forever? Am Rabbi Yirmiyah, mikan ve'elach, Torah machzeres alach sanyoshla. It's such a beautiful statement. That once there is a generational chazaka, that means that a person's family becomes the achsanyo, becomes the lodging for Torah. And once my family becomes the lodging for Torah, then by definition, I have a guarantee that Torah will remain a present, a constant fixture within my family. Rav Yosef, Yosef Arboin Ta'anisa. We'll say Rav Yosef fasted for 40 fast days. Va'akar Yohu lo yomosh mipicha. He had a dream, and in the dream he saw the pasuk lo yomosh mipicha. Those 40 fast days were a guarantee that that Torah would never leave him. Yosef Arboim Ta'anisa Achrini. He went ahead and he fasted another 40 days. And he had in his dream another dream, and in that dream he saw the pasuk, Torah will not depart from you or from your offspring. Yosef me'atani sachrini. He then went ahead and fasted another 100 fast days. He fasted another 100 days, and again he saw as a result of those fast days, he was guaranteed Torah would be with him, his grandson, his son, and ultimately his grandson. Amar, mikan ve'elach lo tzrichna. I need no further guarantees. Why? Torah machzeres al achsanya shelo. That Torah ultimately resides in with its lodging. Rabbi Zera, so I will say, by the way, as an incredible yisod, as an aside, it's an interesting point this Gemara raises, and we don't have time to really be ma'ayin into this, but I'll just share with you one ha'ara. This Gemara is very important because a person has to ask themselves the following: what is the goal I have for my children? You know, this is always an interesting question that parents should ask themselves. What is the goal I have for my children? So, you know, depending on who you ask, you get different answers. I want my kid to go to this college. That's my goal, right? I want my kid to have this profession. That's my goal. I want my kid to make more money than I did. I'll say, you know, the greatest goal in life is to have your child be a Talmud Chacham. That's the greatest goal in life. They could be a Talmud Chacham and a professional. They could be a Talmud Chacham and a captain of industry. They could be a Talmud Chacham and a great posek hador, whatever it is. But that has to be the goal of a parent, to make my child a Talmud Chacham. If it's, and by the way, that's sons and daughters. It's good to have daughters who are Tamidos Chachamos as well, and who are ready to marry Tamidei Chachamim as well. That's the goal of parenting. Because if we raise children who are Tamidei Chachamim, by the way, Tamidei Chachamim is not an objective term, it's a subjective term. Every child becomes a Talmud Chacham in a different way. Not every single Talmud Chacham means that a child is going to be a Mechaber Svarim, is going to be off. No, what it means is that every single child actualizes their ability to learn Torah and to put into action the fundamental tenets of Torah in their own way. That's the goal. Because if we create that goal for our children and they in turn do that for their children, we create a family that's an achsanya shel Torah. We create a family that's ultimately a lodging for the Ribono shel Olam, and that guarantees Ribono shel never leaves our family. An incredible yisod. Yosef Meya Achrina, Delolishka Rebbe Lazar Bishnei. Listen to this. So now, Rav Yosef fasted another 100 fast days. Why did he fast another 100 fast days? Listen to this. Delo lishkov Rabbi Lazar b'shenei. That Rabbi Lazar should not die during Rabbi Yosef's lifetime. Why didn't he want Rabbi Lazar to die during Rabbi Yosef's lifetime? He says, v'naflin iluye mili ditzurba. Because Rabbi Lazar was the person who handled all communal affairs. And were Rabbi Lazar to die, what would happen? Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. So Rabbi Zira, Kisalak La'ar di Yisrael. I'm sorry. Rabbi Zira, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, thank you. Yosef Mea Tanisa Delishtachach Gimara Bavlo. So Rabbi Zira fasted 100 fast days that he should forget everything in the Babylonian Talmud. So as you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Arboa Gimara de Bavloi, Gimara Shalanu. So what's Rabbi Zira made Aliyah, he came to Eretz Yisrael, he davened that he fasted that he should forget the Babylonian Talmud. Why is that? Kihechi Delo Nitra Day, in order that it should not go ahead and infringe on his ability to learn the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. Now look at Rashi just a moment. Tolo Nitra Day. Kesha'ala li Eretz Yisrael, Lilmo Mipi Rabbi Yochanan, Va'amura En Shev Eretz Yisrael, La Hayu B'nei Machlokes, V'nochin Zelazeh, Listen to this. The way they learned in the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael is very different than the way they learned in Bavel. In Bavel, they learned constantly arguing, which you know, is perhaps the yeshivas that we're a little bit more acquainted with. Constantly arguing and yelling in different svaras. In Eretz Yisrael, apparently, they were much nicer. Right? In Eretz Yisrael, they learned in a much more calmer fashion. So Rabbi Zera, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, said, let me forget almost the Talmud Bavli, because if I bring that to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to encroach on my ability to absorb the Torah here. Let me forget that which I learned in order to go ahead and be able to absorb the Torah of Eretz Yisrael more readily. Which Shabbos says an incredible yisod, which also another incredible mussar, which tells you how a person has to be able to adopt new approaches to life at different intervals. Sometimes it becomes so embedded in who we are, in what we are, in the way we are, that we're not receptive to any kind of change. Rabbi Zeir comes to Eretz Yisrael and says, listen, they learn differently here, and I want to be able to absorb the totality of their Torah. He davens to forget everything that he learned. Yosef Mea Achrina. Then he fasted another 100 fast days, or another 100. The low Lishka Rabbi Lazar b'shanei, that Rabbi Lazar should not predecease him. Why? He says V'naflin iluye mile disibura, because if Rabbi Lazar would die, then all communal matters would fall on Rabbi Zera. And Rabbi Zera didn't want that. V'yosef Mea Achrina, the low Mishlet Beinur de Gehenem. And ultimately he fasted another 100 days, that after 120, the fires of Gehenem should have no power over him. So he wanted to test that he was truly on the level, that the fires of Gehenem would not have power over him. What did he do? Kol Klas told Thoreau, said, don't try this at home, but Kol Klas and Yomin have a Badik Nafshe. Every 30 days he would check to see if he was on the spiritual level, that the fires of Gehenem should not have an impact on him. So what did he do? Shagar Tanura, he would light up the stove. Yosef Bigave, he would sit inside of it, but lo hava shalti binur. Amazingly enough, the fire had no impact on him. Yom achad, yavu b'rabbanan eina. So we'll say one day the rabbis find out that he was doing this, and they obviously frowned upon this practice. First of all, because you're relying on miracles, and also it doesn't look right. It's not the proper example to what to do. So what happened? He went, but he didn't realize this. He went into the oven. The achrichu sakya, he burnt his legs. Literally, he burnt his thighs. V'karule katan charech sakya. They called him the short guy with burnt thighs. Sounds better in Aramaic, but you know, but which you understand the idea. So, all right, he was obviously short in stature, but that's what they called him. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, ma'idich se mi'a isha chacham v'yaven ezos. Vasher diber pi Hashem elav v'yagi the ama of the haaretz. So we'll say, quoting over here the pasuk from Yirmiyah. So the pasuk in Yirmiyah says, "Who is the wise one who will understand this and will be able to understand ama of the haaretz? Why was Eretz Yisrael lost to Klal Yisrael? Dover zeh, namely this discussion as to what reason was Eretz Yisrael lost? Dover zeh amru chachamim velo pirshuha. So we'll say, ultimately, again, this matter was heavily discussed. Why did we lose Eretz Yisrael? Right? Why did we not merit to hold on to Eretz Yisrael? Below Pershu. But ultimately, again, it was not disclosed. It was not disclosed. Amru Nevi'im, below Pershu. The prophets, and the prophets discussed this, and it was not disclosed. So we'll say, so remember again, Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, the wise man will try to understand, and they'll try to one simple question: Ama of Daaretz, why was the land lost? So the Gemara is asking, Gemara is trying to deal with this. Davar Zamru Chacham Velo Pirshua, trying to understand why was Eretz Yisrael lost? And the Vim Lo Pirshua, Ad She Pirshua Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'Atzmo. So the Rebbe Shalom finally gave the answer: why was the land lost? Vayomer Hashem Al Ozvam Es Torah Yeshan Asanti Dithneim, because they left my Torah. That I placed before them. So we'll say, so what does this mean? Now you have to understand something. The Gemara is troubled by this concept. Why? Because we know that they were learning Torah in the times of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. So what's the pshat? What does it mean that ultimately they left Torah? So what's a famous Gemara? Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Shelo Baruchu B'Torah Tchila. We'll say, ultimately, they did not make birchas. They didn't make a bracha before learning Torah. Look at Rashi. Shelo Baruchu B'Torah Tchila, Kishay Oskin B'Torah, that ultimately, again, before they learned, they would not go ahead and make a bracha before learning Torah. And Rashi, if you skip to the end of Rashi, we'll say, because they did not make a bracha, they indicated that what? They indicated that Torah was not something special to them. I will say, this is an incredible yisod. You know, learning Torah is not enough. A person has to be machshiv. Person has to recognize the importance of Torah. You know, sometimes we go ahead and we learn things, and we learn it in a jocular fashion, right? We joke, we make it, we take it lightly, we disparage. And also you have to understand something. Torah is not simply a body of knowledge. Torah, Chazal tells us, is the daughter of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which means when you open up a Gemara, when you open up a Chumash, learning has to be done with reverence. Learning has to be done with Kovid Rosh. Of course it should be fun. Of course it should be enjoyable. But a person has to have the right approach. A person has to have a reverence. If there's not a reverence for Torah, if there's not a reverence for Chazal, then there's a fundamental breakdown in our relationship with Torah. So says the Chodesh Baruch Hu, do you want to know why we lost Eretz Yisrael, why we lost the Beis HaMikdash? It's because we lost our relationship with Torah. And here's the amazing part. You could learn a voluminous amount of Torah and still not have a relationship with Torah. A relationship with Torah means that I recognize that every single line I get to read is a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single time I get to go ahead and absorb an idea, it's a matana. Maybe I understand it, maybe I don't understand it, maybe I agree with it. It doesn't matter if I agree with it or not. I go ahead and I relate to it as a davar shebik dusha. Learning Torah is not enough. Relating to Torah as a cheftz of a matana, as a beautiful gift, as a daughter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, cherishing her, loving her, relating to her with kedusha b'tara, that's what our relationship with Torah is. And the Navi laments the fact we lost that relationship. How did that loss of relationship manifest itself? That we didn't say birchas haTorah. So they both say, when I open up Torah without making a bracha beforehand, then what? Then Torah is mathematics. Then Torah's history. Then Torah's literature, right? There's no bracha before learning math. Math is great. Math is wonderful. Math is important. No bracha before learning literature. Literature is exceptionally important. No bracha. Why? Because those things are not spiritual pursuits. They're important pursuits, but they're not spiritual pursuits. At the end of the day, not making a bracha before learning Torah means not relating to Torah b'kedusha b'tara. The moment that relationship lapses is the moment our entire religious identity begins to unravel. That's why we learn lose Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rav Chama, b'may d'chsev, b'lev navon, tanua chachma, u'bekerev k'silim tivada. What does it mean when the pasuk says in the heart of Navon Mosai is the one with understanding? In the heart of the wise one wisdom will reside, or Bekarav Ksilim, inside the full Tivadea. Tivadea means it will become known. What does that mean? Balev Navon Tanua Chachma, Zet Tamut Chacham, Ben Tamut Chacham. But in the heart of the wise one, wisdom will reside. This is the Tamut Chacham, the son of a Tamut Chacham. We'll see this in just a moment. Or Bekarav Ksilim Tivadea, and in the hearts of a fool, it will be known, Zet Tamut Chacham, Ben Ama Aretz. This refers to a Tamut Chacham, the son of an Amaretz. So we'll say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Tivadea, Modiya Lekol Mesarav Ksar. We'll say, if a person is a Talmud Chacham, the son of a Talmud Chacham, they don't have to flaunt their Torah knowledge. Why? Because, again, it's already understood that it's embedded in their familial line. On the other hand, if somebody is a Talmud Chacham, the son of an Am Haaretz, sometimes there is a need for a person to go ahead and share the fact that they possess Torah knowledge in order to indicate that what? That they're different than the family they came from. So again, it's not a good thing. The idea is whenever it comes to anything spiritual, a person should always be humble, including with their Torah knowledge. Amr Ula, Hainu Da'ami In Shiva, said this is an incredible statement. This is what people say. Istaria Bilagina. You know, both say, when you only have one coin in a large jug, Kish, kish, karya. It makes a lot of noise. What does that mean? You know, when a person possesses a lot of Torah knowledge, they're very humble. They're very humble. They don't make a lot of noise. It's the people who don't possess a lot of Torah knowledge. They possess one coin. You know, sometimes somebody has like a little bit of knowledge. And what? Somebody with the greatest Talmud Chacham asking all the kashyas in the world. Ah, what about this? What about this? What about this? You don't know anything. You don't know anything. You have one little coin rattling around, but one little coin rattling around makes a heck of a lot of noise. As the Gemara is supposed to say. So again, Gemara is teaching us about humility. Person has to understand, if I don't know a lot, so I might have a lot of questions, but often those questions are a result ultimately of not knowing a lot. Be careful how you rattle, right? Be careful again. Be careful about the noise. Gemara will say, obviously, the Gemara is not disparaging questions. Questions are good. Questions are how we learn. The Gemara is talking about how I present myself. You know, you have some people who know very little, but present as if they know a lot. They make a lot of noise. So yet, we also know the people who truly know a lot and possess great ruchnius. Those are the people who are often much quieter, much more subdued, and much more humble in their approach. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zera, Mai Dichsiv, Katan V'Gadol, Shamu, V'Evet Chafshi Me'Adona. So we'll listen to this. Another amazing pasuk. Pasuk in Eov says, Katan V'Gadol Shamu, which literally means the one who is small and the one who is great are both there. The there refers to the grave. Everyone ends up in the grave. Ve'evet chafshi me'adonav, and a slave becomes free from his master. Atu lo yadin and the katan v'gadol shamu. Rabbi say, do we not know that both the great one and the small one are in the grave? Ela kolamaktin atzmal divrei Torah ba'olam hazeh na'aseh gadol yolam avar. Rabbi say, whoever humbles himself with divrei Torah in this world becomes great in the world. Rabbi say, what does that mean? This means whoever humbles himself in front of Torah. We'll say, you know, the greatest Yitzhahara in the world is when we go ahead and we think that we know more than Chazal, I know more than the Shulchan Aruch, I know more than Torah. So a person who humbles himself in front of Torah, a person who humbles and makes himself small in this world, becomes great in the world to come. Whoever makes himself like a servant on Divrei Torah, whatever the Torah commands me, I do, like a servant before his master, becomes truly free, ultimately in the world to come. We'll say first wide line. We'll say, interestingly enough, Reish Lakish had another interesting practice that he would go ahead and he would identify the burial caves of the Rabbanas. He took it upon himself to go and identify where the great Rabbanim were buried. Rashi says, Shelo yikashlu kohanim la'avar aleinu ha'alio shelo ta'arat ha'kol yedi tzadikim. So we'll say, so again, why did he do this? This is amazing. So we'll say, it's clear in the times of the Gemara, they did not have organized cemeteries like we have today. People were buried all over the place. So Reish Lakish made it his point to identify the graves of tzaddikim. Why just the graves of tzaddikim and not the graves of regular people? So we'll say, here's what's amazing. The danger of unmarked graves was what? A Kohen, or for that matter, someone else would be on the way to the base of Mitzvah, something else, and if you inadvertently pass over a grave, you're tummy. Reish Lakish didn't want it to be that tzaddikim would be stumbling blocks for the general populace, right? Not literal stumbling blocks, but spiritual stumbling blocks. Therefore, he felt the need to identify their graves in order that people should not inadvertently become tamei as a result of coming in contact with their graves. So what happened? So kimata lama'art Reb Chiya, when he was coming to identify the grave of Reb Chiya, ilamna minei. So for some reason, the location of the grave was hidden from him. Rashi says, Lo yachal limtzo makom. He couldn't find the location. Amar, ribono shel olam, lo pilpalti Torah kimoso. Ribono shel olam, am I not as great in Torah as Rabbi Chiya? Why are you hiding the location of the grave of Rabbi Chiya from me? Did I not engage in Torah dialogue like Rabbi Chiya, that I should not be privileged to find his grave? Listen to this. Yaza sabas kova amralo. A voice from heaven rang out and said, Torah kimosa pilpalta. It is true, you discussed as much Torah as Rabbi Chiya, but Torah kimosa lo ribatsta. You are not in Marbitz Torah like Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya was not only learned, that Rabbi Chiya disseminated and shared Torah with others. So the Ribbono Shel Olam calls out to Reish Lakish, it is true, you went ahead and learned as much Torah as Rabbi Chiya, but you did not disseminate the Torah like Rabbi Chiya. Ki havu minsi Rabbi Chanina of Rabbi Chiya. As well, say when Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chiya would go and argue in Torah, Amar Rabbi Chanina Rabbi Chiya, Bahadi didi kaminsas, are you going ahead and arguing with me? Ches v'shalom, imishtachach Torah miYisrael, ma'adronale mipipulis. I must listen to this. It's always interesting to see the way like Rabbanim spoke to each other in the heat of a Torah debate. So Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chiya arguing. And Rabbi Chiya says to Rabbi Chanina, are you arguing with me? Or do you know who I am? If Torah were ches v'shalom to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael, I could go ahead and reconstruct Torah in its entirety from my dialogues, from my discussions. Amri Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chanina, bahadi didi kaminsas. So I will say, Rabbi Chiya, she was back to Rabbi Chanina. Are you arguing with me? It's very nice. I will say, it's very nice. Remember, this is Rabbi Chiya saying to Rabbi Chanina. It's very nice, Rabbi Chanina, that you think that you could reconstruct Torah from your teachings. I have one even better. I take the necessary steps to ensure that Torah will never be forgotten from the Jewish people. In other words, Rabbi say, listen to this. So understand, Rabbi Chanina says to Rabbi Chiya, how can you argue on me? If Torah were to be forgotten, I could single-handedly reconstruct the entirety of Torah. To which Rabbi Chiya says back to Rabbi Chanina, that's nice, but you know what? I make sure Torah will never be forgotten. Well, so listen to how beautiful this is. How do I make sure that Torah will never be forgotten? We'll just do this and then we'll have to stop for today. Maya vidna. Azulna v'shadini kisna. First thing I do is I plant flax. V'gadono. And I grow the flax. V'nishbe tzaydina tzavi. And what happens? From the flax, I go ahead and I make nets in order to catch deer. And I shech the deer. U'ma'achilna v'asharalis yasmi. I give the meat to orphans. V'arichna migilta. And then I take the hides. I fashion them into parchment. V'kasamna chamishe chumshe. And I go ahead and what? And I write on the parchment, Chemishe Chumshe Torah, V'salikna L'masna, I go to the city, U'makrina Chemishe Yinunka B'Chemishe Chumshe. I identify 5 young children, are privacy Tamidi Chachamim, I teach each of them one of the books of the Torah, U'masnisa Shisi Yinunka Shisa Zidre, and I identify 6 promising young children, I teach each of them one of the orders of the Mishnah, V'amayna Luhu, and I said to them, I'm going to leave now, and I tell the kids, listen, each of you, Chaim Yankel, you I taught Bereishis, you have to teach Bereishis to the rest of the group. And the one who I taught Shmos, you taught Shmos. And the one who I taught this Seder Mishnah, and I tell each of them, you have to take what you've learned and what? Teach it to others. And I ensure, says Rabbi Chiya, that Torah will never be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. It's amazing. It's great to be a Talmud Chacham. You know what's even better than being a Talmud Chacham? Someone who teaches others, someone who is Marbitz Torah, and someone who does their part in ensuring that Torah will never be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. I will say, this was the greatness of Rabbi Chiya. He planted the flax, he made the nets, he shechted the meat, gave the meat to the Yisomim, because again, I will say, it's nice to teach Torah, but you know what else is nice? To make sure that people don't go hungry. Right? Before you worry about teaching Torah, make sure that people aren't hungry. He gives the meat ultimately to the Yisomim, begins to teach the next generation, tells the next generation to teach each other, and ensures that Torah is never forgotten. The greatness of Rabbi Chiya Bosai, we'll pick up here at Miratz Hashem tomorrow. I think we're going to start tomorrow a little bit earlier. Maybe like 4:30, you know, but no, we'll start at 5:50. We'll do 5 minutes of Shai Chul. We'll start at 5:50. The daven gets shorter over the next couple of days, so it'll all equal out.